Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast, today is 9/26.
Yeah, it's October, B.
Yeah, well, October.
How the fuck
is October?
Did that,
Monday?
Next week. So October Monday, is, how did that happen?
Yeah.
October is Tuesday.
Tuesday.
So basically, it's Thanksgiving, which means basically it's Christmas, which means basically
it's
2020.
Time.
Basically,
every time this year you say that,
but that's how I feel. Like literally, and I was thinking about this because I think what happens is that first quarter and change of the year, like you're getting adjusted to the new year, right?
True.
And then before you know it, summer comes.
True.
And by the time summer's over, the year is over.
Well, it's 4 months after summer.
Yeah.
It's the end of August, that's September, October, November,
yeah.
December.
I know, but still, again, look how fast September
it's
went.
It's going fast. It is going fast, but it ain't Thanksgiving just yet. I mean, I got to get past my birthday.
It's pretty much Thanksgiving. Mom started asking me about Thanksgiving plans.
Are you going down
day.
There?
I don't think so. Cheyenne and I are considering traveling.
Oh, that's dope too.
Going to do something, yeah.
Like overseas or something?
I go to Arizona for a spa retreat or something.
You should talk to
to Sam?
Yeah, so she was in New Mexico, right? Oh, was that Utah?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was New Mexico. Okay. But doesn't New Mexico have some type of things like that, too? That
yeah, kind of... absolutely. That's why we think Arizona is like the capital of that shit.
Okay. Oh, by the way.
Shout out to Sam the Hype Beast, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. So Sam the Hype Beast, my Libra sister and former Jive co-worker. Sean's not here. He has some production work to do. They're getting prepared
Peace to
for
Monomy Entertainment.
Monomy Entertainment. I guess they're taping Love and Hip Hop, the new New York season.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's why they've been taping around the city. And,
Got it.
They're just in the throes of that. So he'll be back next week.
Mm-hmm.
Couple quick shouts. I just want to give a quick shout out to my other... Another Jive former co-worker and friend of mine, Sophia Chang, who
she just released her book,
exactly, called The Baddest Bitch in the Room.
Right.
For those who don't know, Sophia is we did A&R together. She's a former A&R person. She signed Hieroglyphics and the Fushnikins at Jive and was right in trying to sign Wu-Tang. Like, mm-hmm. She was there.
But didn't she manage RZA?
She ended up managing RZA. They became friends because of that process.
Okay.
But she was there, like, dumb early. I can't front. Like, she had... She might still have it because she's kind of a collector. But she had, like, the 12-inch where it was, like, just Wu-Tang records. Like,
the
shit they put out themselves.
Right, right, right.
And I remember, like, showing me that video and just being like, these guys... And honestly, I'm going to keep it real. I didn't really get it. I like that guy and I like this guy. But
I can understand that.
But she was just like, no, Sledge, I'm telling you. And she was also dumb early. We didn't get the deal on Dos FX. Which I did get that one. But
right.
and Sylvie ended up signing that. But anyway... And then she went on to manage Q-Tip, Raphael Sadiq.
Yep, that's when I met her. When Raphael was with
Columbia, right, yeah.
First signed to Columbia.
Exactly. And then, and RZA, who, I don't know if she manages RZA still or not, but they definitely work together in a lot of ways.
Right.
And they're friends. RZA was there at the party.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just proud of her to put her book out. You know, she's doing what you tell me to do.
That was about to say, when I was looking at that shit and I saw the picture of you and her, I was like, if me and Jeff can't sit down in 2020, Jeff, I'm
all
forcing
right.
you. We're going to do this shit.
And you know what's funny?
You and fucking Jessica Rosenblum. Like, I'm about to become a professional ghostwriter. Like, we got to, like,
Jessica,
you got all the stories. And I will prop you
okay.
for the stories.
Okay.
Like, we just got to get them out.
And it was funny because Bun wrote under the Instagram post,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're next to me.
Legit, though.
So, I don't know. You
come
know
on,
what?
Picture it. We get your book. We got a forward from Bun. Like,
oh, yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Yeah,
like,
a lot of fools
that
can write forward. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm really going to consider it. Sophia inspired me to kind of think more about it. And, then, of course, our book, you know, we have a totally different story. It won't be the same at all.
Sure.
And my Jive tenure is way longer than hers, because she left in, the 90s. She left, she left, like, 95-ish, I guess, Forge Fest. So she left and went to a whole bunch of... So it's not, like, me biting her thing, but it's just like,
there are stories to tell.
There's room for this.
There's room. There's stories to tell. People want to know. I think if, you know, peace to Reggie, I would say, I think if Reggie taught us anything, is that people want to know these stories from the people who were there. Because even when we see, like, docuseries, it's the same people... Every time, right? There are other people that kind of irk me
because I'm like, this thing they're getting. And you know, God bless if they if you're getting it, get it. But I'm just like, nigga, like, he wasn't even there. You know what I'm saying?
It's just like, so.
And, well, maybe it's a thing where it's like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's an audio thing. I don't know. We should talk about it. So anyway, so it was a good party. D Nice DJed. I got to see RZA, who I hadn't seen in quite a while.
Right.
I love that guy, man. He's first, he's just so fuck. He's so, RZA's so funny because he's like so smart, but then he's so hood at the same, and it's how he does it is amazing. Like, I'm like, cause it's just who he is.
Yeah.
But it's just like this thing is like dumb smart. Like, he'll say some shit like, I remember I went to Sam Ash with him one time, and he was like, yo, check it out, bro. I learned how to play the piano. I taught myself. And I'm like, really? Right. And he started playing on this stuff on the piano. He's like, it was just math. Like, you see, like, the chords is this. It's one and
it
two.
Is
and,
math,
two.
Huh?
And I'm like, this guy is fucking amazing. Like, Jesus Christ. And then, so we had stayed up all night. We was in the studio all night. And that's back when you had the corporate car was lit.
Yep.
So I was living uptown. So I was driving home. But he was like, yo, bro, can you give me a room? You know, because I don't really go. He lived like way out in Jersey. He was like, I don't feel like going way out there. Like, let's give me a room. So we just literally, it was early, so I couldn't call travel. So we literally were just driving to hotels. Like, you got rooms?
Right.
So he ended up staying like at the Plaza or some shit.
That's hilarious.
Whatever. And I put my card down for him. But on the way, he's like, yo, I just got to let you know I got the burner on me. So we get pulled over.
It's like, nigga.
We both going to jail. This is right after showing me his mathematics with Sam Ash. Like, that's how, that's RZA, though. That's, like, his dichotomy. Like, I'm a wizard,
but I got the burn on me,
and we might get locked up if the hospital is over.
Right.
So, whatever. But anyway, so I just wanted to say peace to them. I just thought about this on the way over here, like, and Sean's going to be mad he missed this conversation. So, in your mind, because I've stopped there a couple of times now. For those who know, we're taping at a newer studio, and it's a different part of the city than we usually tape.
Yeah.
And around the corner is a Chick-fil-A and there's a Five Guys. They're almost like right next to each other, like same block up thing. So in your mind, who has the best fries, fast food? Period.
Period. When you can get them hot and right. No, actually, period for me is Bojangles. But I can only get
That's down south.
They have, like, the seasoned joints.
Okay,
all right? And they have, like, the perfect crunch on outside, soft on inside. When they're right, I think it's still McDonald's. When I can't get McDonald's, I want Wendy's. But Five Guys fries are good, but sometimes they're over-seasoned for me.
They do be... They can OD be salty. Sometimes. They can be extra salty.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go Five Guys.
But the thing about Five Guys that's good is that they're like a real potato fry.
Yes.
You know, like, it ain't the skin no processed shit.
Because you see the big bags of potatoes every time around the store. So that just...
But people do, and they give you, like...
Mad fries. A bag
all
of fries.
The fries. It's literally
like, they just dump the fries in a bag. I'm like, here you go, nigga. Like, take these fries and break out.
Literally bag fries.
Yeah, McDonald's... I haven't had McDonald's in ages.
But McDonald's, they don't do... But they, you know, they... The stuff that used to be banging at McDonald's doesn't hit the same anymore.
Do they still do the apple pies and shit? Is that
they changed the formula for the apple pies. We don't know how, but everybody who used to eat apple pies as a kid is clear that, like, the apple pies are not the same as they used to be.
And they don't,
maybe they changed, like, what they fry them in or something, but something's different.
It ain't the same. And they don't do the high C no more, the orange drink, right?
Yeah, they got rid of the orange, which was a travesty.
The orange
that
drink
was, like,
was legendary.
Telling me my childhood was dead.
Yeah, orange drink, legendary.
Legendary.
Yeah. Now, the worst fries...
Burger King.
And Popeye's. I don't like Popeye's
fries. Yeah, Popeye's fries are not good.
They, like, disappointing.
They're like the batter... You know what? Popeye's fries want to be Checkers fries.
Okay.
But they're not. Checkers has, like, the batter dip joints.
I haven't eaten Checkers before.
But okay, Checkers has, like, these batter dip fries that are incredible, if that's what you want, right? I feel like Popeye's can't decide if they're a fry or, like, a batter dip. But, like, there's something about the crunch with the fries that's not quite... Yeah, Popeye's...
Don't curl all the way over. Now, what do you think about the waffle fries at the Chick-fil-A?
Now, I love the waffle fries at Chick-fil-A, but the thing about the waffle fries at Chick-fil-A is that they have to be salted just right.
Okay.
And they get cold. I mean, all fries get cold dumb fast, but they get cold dumb fast.
Yeah.
So they have to be hot and soggy
sometimes.
Yeah, they have to be hot and salted just right. But yeah, the waffle fries are great.
Okay. I'm going with Five Guys. You going with
I'm going Wendy's.
But Bojangles is a special category, but they over here because it ain't
because it's down south. Yeah.
To be. And what about
Bojangles fries?
Churches? I haven't eaten Churches. Do they have good?
I haven't eaten Churches in 100 years. I don't remember. I don't even know if I've ever eaten Churches fries. They have a very special biscuit. They have like a kind of honey something biscuit situation.
And it's good?
It's pretty good, but I haven't eaten Churches in a long time. I used to eat Churches more when I was a kid because there was one in Tuskegee. So when I was there in the summers with my dad, I would eat Churches. But I haven't eaten there. Like there used to be one. It might still be across the street from the Empire State Building like years ago. I was over there for something and I popped in and got some Churches. But that was
100 years ago.
Ages ago.
No, yeah. Ain't it bugged out how like all the test market, I guess they do out west too, they seem to be all in the south. Like, you'll go to the supermarket in the south and be like, I never seen that flavor of this before.
When I go to the supermarket in the south, I'd be mad.
Yeah, like, why don't we have none of this
like,
shit?
They got, you know, like, the olive oil butter and the cinnamon sugar butter and the habanero butter.
And
you got 80,000 different types of cereal I've never seen. And you got,
it's crazy,
like,
right?
Yeah.
I'm like, why is this shit don't never make it past the Mason-Dixon line?
I don't know. Maybe we don't shop the same way up here because so many of us, it'll be in the suburbs. Okay. It won't be in the city.
Maybe because of the health conscious shit.
Or maybe because like we don't drive, so it's like we shop for necessity, maybe.
Yeah, we
kind of
shop
like,
only for like a couple days. Yeah. We can't carry but so much.
We don't really do like
down south niggas load up the truck.
Yeah.
It's like I'm just be three parts of shit. You loading up.
Right,
for 2 weeks.
Loading up everything.
Yeah, but it's amazing. Even like with the fast food spots, it'll be like, oh, they got that. Down there, they don't have it up here.
Like, every time I go down south, I'd be like, the fuck is this?
Yeah, some new
and I'd be mad, like, because I'm not going to be down long enough to eat it, and I want to eat it. Like, it'd be all kinds of different kind of Lay's potato chips and the Doritos.
Yeah,
like,
the potato chip flavors are bonkers.
Yeah, like, it's...
Yeah,
no.
You go to the QT or something, they'd be like, I never seen the Mexican habanero. You know
all
what I'm saying?
All kinds of shit, yeah.
Wanted to mention... Oh.
Oh, well, wait, by the way, there is a, I've been hearing about Wegmans forever, and there's a Wegmans opening in Brooklyn in October.
Now, what is that?
So, Wegmans is supposed to be, like, this magical grocery store. Everybody talks about it. I think they're in Virginia.
Okay.
And in some other places, right? But I've heard so much about Wegmans from the people on the Twitters. It's supposed to be this magical place. It's supposed to be, like, if Publix grew up and hit Lotto or something. I don't know. I love a good Publix. Right. Like, I love a good Publix, a good Kroger, a good Harris Teeter.
Love a Kroger.
You don't love a Kroger?
I don't love a Kroger.
Good Kroger.
I love Publix.
Publix is good, but Kroger used to be kind of like Publix. A good Harris Teeter, which Stu Leonard's kind of reminds me of Harris Teeter. So Wegmans is supposed to be the bomb, but it's all in Brooklyn Navy Yard. I'll venture out there maybe once just to see what the hype is. But yeah.
The Brooklyn Navy Yard is fucking lit. Jesus, they're doing everything out there. Yeah. The piece to my Bob in Atlanta, Gus.
Oh boy. So what did you decide?
You know what? I haven't been back since the I cheated.
Right.
I'm gonna have to just go to Herb. I'm gonna have to go to Herb and say Gus is back.
Right.
And I gotta go because Gus is my guy. He was my guy before Herb. But Gus,
I would think Herb would understand that.
I think Herb. I don't know. Me and Herb had a nice little rapport. We had some great conversations.
Right.
But I can't go in there and not go to Gus. And Gus be like texting, because Gus is my man. He be like texting me now, like, yo, what up, bro? Like, he just...
So doesn't, but Gus has to know that you were seeing somebody while he was away.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
But he just expects you to come back.
I would suspect. And the day I went, Herb wasn't there.
Oh.
So it wasn't no controversy because Herb wasn't
there. I really
working.
Need somebody to write a sociological text about the relationship with black men and their barbers.
And black women and their
hairdressers. That's true. But honestly, you guys are more invested in your relationship with your barbers than you are with, like, the people that you're in romantic relationships with.
There's no question. I wrote my man uptown, Jeter. He's at a new shop on 7th Avenue and looked like 140th or so. Mm-hmm. I rode my bike past there yesterday and I looked in and I was like, yeah, I should go see what up to Jeter. But I was like, that's my man.
Right.
But if I'm like, if I do that,
he gonna be like, where you been?
Where you been? Where you going? Who cut? You know, I'm gonna go in there one day though. Damn. But anyway. So I'm still waiting. My man Gus hit me. This one to say peace to the U-Bar. The U-Bar was this huge sports bar in Atlanta on Camp Creek. Mm-hmm. Massive. Who just got shut down.
Oh,
because they were operating it like a club.
Mm-hmm. With no, instead of like a restaurant.
Yeah, they don't have a cabaret license. They have license. They have like bottle service. They have VIP. Niggas was pay, you had to pay to get in.
Right.
They had valet park. It's a sports bar.
Right.
And that's huge. Mad TVs, DJ.
Right.
They had the mechanical bull. Like, it's crazy. They do all the radio advertisements. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy, but they shut it down. And I'm like, damn, they killed them because this is football season.
Yeah.
In Atlanta. Like, but, they make all the money.
How long were they open?
U-Bar been open at least 10... Well, it was called the Ultimate before, but that space has been open for at least 10 years.
And all that time, they haven't been operating with a cabaret
morphed.
License?
It morphed. When I first went there, like I said, which was at least 10 years ago, it was just a sports bar.
Okay.
It would be ram-packed. Like, I mean, this place holds like maybe like 1,000 people.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Huge. It was huge. But it would be ram-packed. They had, you know, massive screens of TVs, and the DJ would play music on the commercial breaks.
Right.
But that was it. And then over time, it just kept kind of morphing. Like, they put the bull in.
Right.
You know, so they put the, like, the little couches in. And then they got velvet ropes inside. And you could buy a section. And it was like...
They should have known that that was going to catch up.
I'm assuming. I'm talking shit.
Then somebody domed them out?
Yes. Or that they... Somebody who they had something worked out with, either they had a falling out with or something.
Or they
because it's been going on a long... And they advertised on the radio.
Right.
So they weren't hiding shit.
Right.
But, yeah, Gus sent me the picture, so I don't know what's going on. Peace to the U-Bar, man, because they got some good-ass wings, too. they do. Did you watch the Emmys?
I watched some.
What'd you think? First of all, lowest ratings in years. Terrible ratings.
I'm not really surprised. I mean, I don't know how invested people were, you know? I was really happy to see, what's his name? Jalil.
The boy from Corey Wise.
Yeah, that played Corey on When They See Us. Yeah. His win was really... I mean, only
two... I think his name is Jarrell.
Only two black winners. Him and Billy Porter.
There were only two black winners, didn't they?
If I'm not mistaken.
I think you might be right.
Jarrell Jerome.
Yeah, Jarrell Jerome. Yeah.
Who is an Afro-Latino from the Bronx.
Yeah.
Him and Billy Porter. Which Billy Porter, so, so well-deserved, by the way.
Oh, no, there's three, actually.
Who else?
But he don't really call himself black.
Who?
RuPaul.
Oh, I forgot about Ru.
We'll get to that in a second.
But it was more his show that won than him,
yeah,
though.
But he got the Emmy still. Okay. But we'll get to him in a second. I think that it's interesting because I think that just like a lot of things, even the Emmys, who didn't seem to quite calculate this, I mean, they got to put their show on, right? So they're going to put the show on. It's not, they should not put the show on. But I think that Sunday night slot, now, when people are watching, you know, the Real Housewives reunion, the Potomac reunion, Married to the Medicine.
But you're talking about black people. I mean, yeah,
football.
But it's not necessarily the same audience, though.
I mean, I just think that what I'm saying is I think the audience as a whole is very splintered now.
I get it, but Sunday
people
night
are like all over the place.
But Sunday night has always been. I mean, granted,
no, everybody's show on.
Yeah, everybody's, you know, competing for TV space. Sunday night has always been like one of the hottest programming nights on.
Yeah, especially for awards night.
Yeah, and I mean, even for primetime, like it's always been one of the biggest.
Because most people are home Sunday night, getting ready for work the next day.
I don't see it ever moving because there's such an ecosystem around these awards weekends.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be that easy to just be like,
yeah, no, it feeds so many things. It feeds out to so many things. Again, I'm not saying
it's such a major production.
Yeah, I'm not saying it should even move it.
But I think there's a couple of things. Like, there was no host this year.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes the host does draw people in.
Absolutely.
And I also think that people just don't. Like, people are always going to watch that. But even I think the Oscars ratings have been... I think all of these show ratings have kind of been declined because people aren't as invested as they used to be. It's not as glamorous to folks as it used to be because you see these stars all the time. People think they know how to...
Now,
because
Instagram and all that.
People think they know how the sausage is made.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Whereas before, you know, you had to sit down and watch this because where else were you really going to see... You don't have to tune in to see the clothes. You can see it on the Instagram feed. You know, people would tune
Most
in to see the
fashion. Most people do watch it on Instagram
and,
feed.
You yeah, know? You don't have to do any of that anymore. You know, so I think that's part of it. It's just the change in how we consume.
In the times, yeah.
Yeah.
And
which
also
is the same
that,
struggle that the Grammys is having. That's why the Grammy award show often doesn't reflect the actual Grammy nominees because they're fighting, the Grammy award show is fighting for viewership.
Yeah.
And it, so that doesn't always reflect the actual nominees in the category.
Yeah, they'll pull, you know, BTS or or somebody like that who they know is going to draw a bunch of eyeballs as opposed to, like you said, some other kind of artist that might not have that TV draw.
Exactly.
And also, I noticed this year, so many award winners were streamed shows, like shows from Amazon and shows from Hulu and stuff like that. And I think that that could be something, too. Although, obviously, people watch these shows, I think
they don't associate them with, like, a TV award.
Yeah, there's always some people don't. Like, honestly, for me, like, I have Netflix, I have Hulu, and that's it. I don't even have Amazon, honestly.
I have Netflix and Hulu and Prime, although Prime has just really become a serious contender in the original content game within the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with The Marvelous Miss Maisel, which won a couple times.
Yeah.
I still haven't watched it. I need to binge that.
And is
Fleabag Prime or Hulu? Fleabag might be Prime. Fleabag is excellent.
I think Fleabag is Prime.
Yeah, Fleabag is excellent.
Yeah. No, I heard it's really good.
And Fleabag won, too.
Yeah, so many shows. So I'm like, I've never seen this.
Right.
Like, I don't even know what people are geeked about because I don't have that streaming service. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, it was just interesting, like I said, to kind of see what happened and everything.
But I will say that in this battle, because, you know, they've also been fighting, networks have been fighting against what streaming services can be considered for in Oscar contenders, right? Because they're feeling threatened.
Mm-hmm.
But on the TV side, HBO took home, I want to say, a record number of awards on Sunday. So they're still
proving it. Because they had Game of Thrones, too.
Yeah.
Which won a bunch of stuff, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know you said you wanted to mention a show on BT.
So there were a couple things. So BT Plus has launched.
It just launched this week, right?
In the last week.
Yeah.
So one of the original series they launched with is The First Wives Club, which is an adaptation of the movie from the 80s that had Diane Keaton, Bette Midler, and Goldie Hawn.
Okay.
So it's a series. It's Jill Scott and two other women whose names I can't remember.
I saw the commercial. I didn't realize that was supposed to be based on First Wives Club.
Yeah, it's very loosely. Okay. Really only in the sense of them all being in marriages where, like, they're on the verge of divorce for different reasons. And there's a couple of moments in there that come directly from the movie. Like, there's a scene in the original movie where Ivana Trump is like, don't get mad, get half. Or, you know, something like that. Get everything.
Okay.
And this time, Shawnee O'Neal delivered that line. You know, so there's, like, a couple of things from the original. But it's not quite the same. But it's cute. It's kind of corny.
So you have BT Plus, or you went to a screening?
I did the trial because Mom wanted to see it, and we sat there and, like, binged it. Again, it was cute. Would I turn in every week for it? No.
Okay.
But
you did enjoy it.
But I did enjoy it. But the hard thing with me is that, like, so Jill's a recording artist, and Malik Yoba plays her husband.
Okay.
And it's always hard for me to watch stuff that depicts the record industry and skips mad steps. Because I'd be like, that's not how that happens. Like, she's at her album release party, and they announced it, like, her album went number one, and I'm like, that's not how that happens. Like, that wouldn't have.
Yeah.
And, like, she was surprised that her executive producer was at the party. I'm like, of course the executive producer is it's your executive producer. And the executive producer was like, call me when you need me. Like, no, nigga, you're part of the project. Yeah, like, yeah.
I see it at the label tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
Over the marketing point.
So, yeah, that was interesting. But it was cute, but the conversation about BT Plus has been, what are they really going to offer? So it looks like a lot of it right now is going to be based on, like, Tyler Perry content, which has, you know, worked for OWN, it worked for TBS. Like, that's
Tyler going to bring, I mean,
that's a plan. But what I discovered was, because people were saying, like, honestly, if BT just threw a lot of vintage stuff
some
up there,
old shit.
Video Soul, but Team apparently Summit, they don't have. They didn't archive their old stuff.
No.
Somebody said that in the early days of BET back in D.C., they didn't see the value. Because obviously there's a lot that goes into archiving.
Properly archiving
your footage, right? Yeah. They didn't see the value in it. So they don't have. I'm sure they have some Teen Summit. obviously they have, but they could even probably put 106 and Park up there. Obviously they have that, but like those early Video Soul, Caribbean Rhythms, all of that shit, apparently they don't have it. Isn't that crazy?
That's insane.
Isn't that crazy?
Because literally every black artist from that time
was on that
show. Was on that show at some point.
You could literally just throw that, like, there are people who said, and I believe it, like, I would pay the monthly subscription for that.
For that.
And right now, they cost as much as Netflix. Why am I paying for that?
Yeah, just to see some Tyler. No, just because you know I love
Tyler. I know, but
just to see some Tyler and First Wives Club ain't enough.
Yeah, there's not enough. And you know, somebody compared it to where Amazon started, but at least with where Amazon started, there was, and I mean, I guess BET, I guess they do have like some of their current stuff, like the New Edition story, the Bobby Brown story, okay, and whatever. But you can, even when Amazon started, it was still a movie database, right? It was still like a movie rental. You still had like a variety. It wasn't original content, but there was still like a variety of material to choose from. BET just doesn't have those kind of rights, you know? So damn, it's going to be interesting to see how they grow. And they are going to be pushing a lot more original. They've been doing a lot more original content that's streaming instead of putting it on air.
Okay.
So, you know,
that's sad that they didn't archive this shit.
Isn't that tragic?
Damn, man.
But you know what, it makes sense, because honestly they could have just, like, you know how VH1 will do VH1 Classic and show old stuff, or how MTV like creates whole documentaries out of old
and they ain't got nothing.
BET could have been, and I always wonder why BET didn't do that. They don't have their shit.
They don't have the shit. Damn. Damn, Bob Johnson.
I know.
You know what? I wanted to mention Love and Marriage Huntsville, but I'm gonna tell you why, because I know you don't watch the show.
I know.
So
I probably should, but I don't.
Yeah, it's actually really good. But I'm not gonna get into the storylines over, because that doesn't kind of matter. But so I'm just saying, one of the storylines is this couple, Melanie and Martell, they're the youngest couple on the show.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, on the show, she's like 32, and he's
I'm just going to interrupt and say, for the listeners, I am eating today. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's eating.
I haven't done it in a long time.
She's eating some Chick-fil-A.
I haven't done it in a long time. Y'all going to hear me smacking. I'll try to keep it down.
So, they're the youngest couple on the show. They both went to Alabama, A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people on the show went to A&M. He's a Kappa, she's an AK. So they're
this that is the one where he didn't want her to work or something, right?
No, that's Marceau and Kit. No, uh-huh. I forget his Tish. Tish, his wife's name. Okay. Tish. They also went to Alabama A&M. He's a Q.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also an AK, I think.
Okay.
But anyway, so they're young and they're trying to be this young power couple. They're the ones, I don't know if you probably.
There's a light skinned girl with the blonde hair?
Yes, who was at the Rock Nation lunch brunch last year. And anyway, so they're going through the thing on the show because he's been cheating on her with this one girl for like at least 3 years.
Who's young.
Huh? The girl's young. The girl's in her 20s.
Yeah.
The girl's in her 20s, because he's only 34, and then the girl's like 27 or something.
Right.
The reason I'm bringing it up is because I found it interesting. Like, he was on some real goofy shit at first when he got caught. Like, what you talking about? I'm still a good husband. You should get me. But now as the series is going on, he's in therapy with this older black therapist, man. He grew up without a father. So this older black therapist is striking, I think, a nerve in him as like kind of like a father figure. And not that they go do anything outside of therapy, but
still,
this older black man is talking to him, and he's actually kind of like listening.
Right,
like, this older black man is trying to school me on some shit.
Right.
And then so on the show, this past week, he has an uncle who looks to be maybe in his early 40s. So he's not old, but he's older than him.
Right.
And he's always said, the uncle's always been there for me, like, he helped raise me, blah, 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 blah. He's the uncle's his mother's brother.
Okay.
He's like, he helped raise me, I've always looked up to him, and he said, the uncle's been married for 20-something years. Mm-hmm. So he's like, yo, I really, like, he's obviously been through some things in his marriage, as well, we all do, but they seem to be happily married, so I need to kind of talk to him, because he can tell me some shit.
Right.
So they go out, and they start talking and everything, and what I found interesting was the Martell dude, for once, wasn't being goofy. He was keeping it real. And he said some shit that a lot of niggas think. He was like, look, I was, you know, young, I was doing my thing, and I started making some money, and I felt like I deserved to have a girlfriend.
Right.
Like, I'm taking care of home, you know, things is paid, and he...
I mean, as long as home is good, I should be able to do whatever the fuck I want to do.
That's literally what he said, and he alluded to, he didn't say specifics, but he alluded to there was some sexual things that his wife didn't really want to do, or maybe do regularly. Now, mind you, they have three kids under the age of seven.
Right.
They are
little
kids.
So your wife is tired.
Yeah, and she works too. Like she works. She's like a also does real estate. Like she's like a really a go getter.
Right.
She's a speaking. She's moving and grooving all the time. So she's definitely tired. And I don't see any signs of a nanny or nothing. It's just her raising kids. Them raising kids. So you know, and she I think so. She's just kind of you know she's a southern girl. She's from like a small town in Alabama, and she's you know AKA she's kind of prim and proper. So there might be some things that she's just like I don't want to do. Or maybe just doing your birthday and that type of shit. And so he's like, but this other girl was about that life. So he's like, yo, I met her. She's about that other life. You know, my wife isn't doing these things. When I ask her to do these things, this other girl is doing basically whatever I ask her to do.
Right.
And I'm taking care of home. And so I felt like I should have a girlfriend. And I just found that interesting that he actually admitted that.
Yeah.
You know, because
but that he has the self-awareness to, like, recognize that's really what his thought process was.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. And he feels like, I think, I don't know about... on this episode... his wife was definitely like really like freezing him out. They had an event to go to together as a family, so they went, but she wasn't even talking to him. She was on her phone, and then she spoke, and like he's just kind of sitting there. Like she wasn't really fucking with him. And so, again, I don't know where it's going to go, but on this episode, it felt like he was like starting to feel the heat like, damn, she really not fucking with me.
But
I'm
my thing is like, I'm not saying you can answer that, but my thing is like,
why do niggas think like that?
No, what do niggas expect their wives' reactions to be to that shit? You know what I'm saying? Like I get that for some dudes, their thought is, oh, I'm just fucking, I'm just doing whatever. But
I'll get right back, like Jay-Z.
But it's such, but it's still such a level of disrespect. And I'm happy that you brought up, like, the kids they have and all this other stuff. Somebody tweeted yesterday that he was talking to his coworker, and his coworker was saying that his wife had gained, like, 40-something pounds. And, like, he was, like, disgusted by looking at her, right?
Wow.
And he, because he was saying, like, it was so wild to me, like, he's speaking this way about his wife. And dude was like, I mean, she don't even want to go to the gym, blah, blah. They also have three kids
little
ones, right? So it's like, and she probably works. So my thought is, you're like, she don't even want to get in the gym. When's she going to the gym? You got three little kids.
When's
you know what I mean?
Time.
Like, she's working. And I think that's the thing that men don't seem to take into consideration. It was one thing when women were stay-at-home, if you have a stay-at-home mom, right? Even then, even if you have a nanny, there are still some things that you have to be hands-on for. It's a whole nother thing. If you're working, you're both working.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to you both working, she's covering the kids. And even if you're paying the bills at home, even if you're progressive, the lion's share of domestic work still falls on the woman. Even if you're a progressive, it's just the way it shakes out, right?
Yeah, the way it happens.
Like some kids start hollering, it's automatically assumed woman's gonna get up, food, whatever.
Yeah.
So the division. So even if a man is taking care of home financially, the burden of labor, like your wife is probably exhausted. You know what I mean? And niggas start talking about, well, she ain't fucking nigga, she tired. You know what I mean? Like she's tired.
I can't remember,
overwhelmed probably
mentally, and maybe
because she got to keep your doctor scheduled too.
Yeah, and maybe you know what? Maybe money isn't great, and maybe bills is tight, and this is a little stress as well. I forget where I heard somebody say this shit. I just heard it the other day. Damn it! But anyway, I'm trying to get it right. Somebody said read something that somebody said that. I forget the percentage, but it was more than 50% of people who get married. People that somebody said that. In one way or another, people kind of settle.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, well, you know, I'm getting older. Oh, well, but he's nice. Oh, well, she's nice. You know what I'm saying?
Or it's time.
My mom likes her. She's tough.
Right.
That type of show. We got kids, so we might as
well.
Right. And I think that, and maybe it goes both ways. It probably does. But I think for a lot of dudes, they don't really invest enough time into the getting to know the woman as a friend.
Yeah, instead of as a wife.
As a wife, and it's like, as a sex partner, as like, you know, we hang out, we have a good time, blah, blah, and that's important, too.
No, it's very important.
But when your wife, for example, you know, maybe does gain a little weight for she does, or she maybe, because that woman also could be postpartum.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't even talk about that. With three kids, I bet
well, at least 90%, one of them babies she probably had postpartum. Absolutely. Which
maybe gain the weight on us, right? And then dudes, again, it goes both ways. I can only talk from the male perspective.
Right.
Dudes don't look at her as, yo, my friend is going through some fucked up shit.
Right.
Like, they look at her, yo,
this woman who's supposed to service me can't.
It done got fat, and I don't want to fuck no more. Like, the dinner don't be popping. Or
right.
She just, it's like, yo, instead of looking at her, yo, my friend is really going through
some shit.
And now, on the other side, I will have to say, a lot of women, for various reasons, won't really take a lot of shit to their man. They'll take it to their friends.
Yeah.
So they have these deep conversations with their friends. Well, I think it's
sometimes
because
they don't know if their man will understand.
Yeah.
Or listen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Really, or really comprehend.
Right, because we do communicate differently. Like, you take something to a man and you're just venting, he's going to hit you with the, well, why don't you? You should. Why did you? Because men are solution oriented.
Or hit you with the word. Oh, that's
right.
That's
wow,
crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah. Whereas sometimes a woman just wants you to hear.
Yeah.
Right? But I am so glad you said that about men not taking time to get to know their wife as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I know so many niggas who got married, like, out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And they married the quote-unquote good girl.
Yeah, the good girl.
Because they had been together for so long, and they fucked around and sold their oats. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, let me settle down and get married. And then after the kids came, and like 10 years later, now they're about to get divorced because they have no common interest.
Except
and
the
because
kids.
The dude's are bored. And the wife probably is too, right?
Hell
because
yeah.
It's like, and that's the other thing that men don't understand. Like, if you're bored, she's probably bored too.
And if you're fucking, you're giving her room to fuck.
Well, you
bro.
Only got a little bit of time, right? Like, so.
Yeah, if you outside at 3 a.m. on every weekend, what do you think she's doing,
yeah.
bro?
Yeah. So I think that on both sides, This happens because it's funny to me that men still do this whole thing where, like, for them, marriage is like a trap. Like, oh, they locked me down, whatever.
I'm a go on and marry
you,
bro.
Yeah, like, let me just go. Because every study shows, like, there are multiple studies that show that men thrive in marriage, women don't. Men tend to get promotions. Their health is better because you got somebody checking
on your
shit.
Neck. You take your pills today.
Yeah, you tend to make more mm-hmm. money, whatever. And when men get divorced, they remarry more often and more quickly. Mm-hmm. When women get divorced, they good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and women, like, their health declines. They have men have a longer lifespan if they're married. Married women have a shorter lifespan because they're taking on the whole house. They're taking on everybody's shit, right?
Burden, yeah.
And in 2019, all the traditional reasons for marriage. You know, women can work. They don't have to rely on men for money. They don't have to have men to own property. It's not completely taboo, depending on who you are, to have a child outside of wedlock. Mm. You know what I mean? So it's like, what really is the benefit for a woman to get married? And I just think that people don't really, but women are conditioned to believe that in order for us to be valuable, a man needs to want to marry us.
To be complete.
Yeah, a man needs to want to marry us, right? Without really giving thought to, do we actually want to be married to this motherfucker?
Yeah, exactly. Do I want to spend the next 50 years of my life with this nigga?
Yeah, exactly. Like, is it just because he gave me a ring? Like, is it, you know what I mean? Like, Martin and Gina, when Martin was like, all right, fine, we get married. You know what I mean? Like,
that's know each other. I'm cool with his sister and his mom. Yeah, so. I just thought it was, again, this guy's got a lot of self-awareness to develop on
right.
the show, but I did think
and he's
think
still
that
young
was,
like you said
he's still young yeah but I on Instagram, of course, now because Instagram fucks everything up, because now you can see what happened. She's actually pregnant again.
Wow.
But
that was probably
she doesn't wear a wedding ring, so I think they're not together.
Oh, they might be
so separate. And honestly, I think, and we'll see, I think he went to the girl he was fucking with.
He might.
I think they actually have more in common.
Right.
But anyway, I just thought that was interesting that he kind of admitted the whole...
Yeah, but
like,
you're right. But I also think you're right. Like, that's kind of what happens, is that men think, I'm king of the castle, I should be able to just be out here. Because some men have been taught that that's what manhood is. You provide financially.
So you should be able to do what you want to do.
Yeah, but without consideration. Like, D.L. Hughley, not that he's an example of any kind of paragon of virtue, said this in the last season of... Black Love. He said that he was taught that as long as you're taking care of the house financially, you can do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can have side women, other women,
which
whatever.
Is what he's you done. Just, which most is what of he's done. Marriage.
You just gotta make sure
that the bills are
that
paid.
Bills are paid. Like, you don't necessarily have to give your, like, make sure your kids are fed, bills are paid, like all that emotional shit. Mm-hmm. That ain't
whatever.
Your job.
That ain't for me.
Yeah.
I just want to mention Top Boy real quick. Mm-hmm. I'm up episode 9. I think it's 10.
I'm gonna watch this week.
You should watch it. It's just really, yeah. It's just a really good show. And I mean, I sure was kind of laughing last week, but it is Wire-esque, and not just because of the subject matter, but the way the storylines weave in and out of each other. It's like, oh shit, I didn't realize it. You know, which is why you kind of need to probably watch the earlier ones to kind of see the progression of the characters. Right. Like in The Wire, it's like, oh, that motherfucker's from season 2. Like he's not,
right.
Like,
even though the seasons are kind of interdependent, they still
they are, but they aren't. They are, you know, what I'm saying there's characters that are in every season, so they there's a few to come in and out.
I also want to, because you know it is. Premiere, it's like season premiere time. I watched Mixed Dish.
I did too. I watched it last night, actually. What
I
you
liked
think?
It. I liked it.
I wasn't sure.
So the thing about Mixed Dish, I had to remember that I was the same way about Black-ish. When I heard the name, I was like...
I remember a lot of people were beefing about that Black-ish name.
For a long time. So when I heard the name, I was like, this name is stupid. But now I get it. It's a grown-ish made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed Dish was kind of like you mixed the... But I get it, it's a branding thing now, right?
Yeah.
But I was also like, who really needs a story about growing up mixed? But I didn't consider the framing of the fact that they're really... I guess for me, growing up, I knew some mixed kids, they didn't come from two-parent homes.
Okay.
But I did know, like, I have mixed cousins, you know, so I'm not saying I knew a lot of them, but they weren't an anomaly either. So I guess the framing of Bo being like, there weren't a whole bunch of us out there, there weren't a whole bunch of us to look up to, you know, but I mean, it was David Justice, it was Halle Berry, but that was all the 90s, so I guess...
So I guess
in the 80s, I hadn't really considered that. She was like, all we had to look up to was the DeBarges. I hadn't really considered that framing, right?
And even also, Jenny on the Jeffersons, she looked black as hell.
Well, she was black, and then they had
she was mixed. Remember, because she had the white dad.
I mean, on the show, but the actress was black.
That's what I said. So it was kind of like,
but they also
really
had,
mixed because
but
she
they
was
also
black.
Had two different people play the son, and one of them was like Latino, and one of them was straight white.
Yeah, it was like, exactly, that was weird.
So they couldn't even find a mixed
actor. Yeah, couldn't even find a mixed actor.
But the other thing I think is the reason I was like, why do we need the show? I think because I grew up in the South, mixed kids were like exotic. Like they were, like you were seen as kind of like better than, like everybody was trying to get in a mixed girl.
Yeah,
you know,
the
mixed boy. You had the good hair. You was light skin, whatever.
Yeah.
So the concept of like mixed kids getting clowned in school, I was like, where they do that at? You know what I mean? Because down South, if you were mixed, like everybody was on you. So I guess that was the other thing that was just, but it was. I thought it was interesting.
I think what's interesting also is, and they kind of started it on this show. And we'll see where it goes. But they were also kind of being forced to choose.
Yeah, like
which be on the white side.
Well, now that part was
true. Yeah,
I found that to be true. You absolutely had.
Yeah.
If you were anything other than black or white, then just straight black or white, you had to choose.
Yeah, you're
where you
stay with the white people, you're gonna stay with the black people.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So that was there's only one episode in, but I did like the girl who plays Joan. Well, Joan Rainbow.
Rainbow, yeah.
I call her Joan fucking girlfriend. As a younger child.
Yeah,
and I like Tiki Sumter.
I like Tiki, although I'm going to be like you with the casting thing. We've seen Joan's mama on the show.
And that
she's super light-skinned. Tiki Sumter is not light-skinned.
At all.
At
you know what? You know what the dad is?
Who is that?
That's your boy from Saved by the Bell.
That's Mark Paul Gosling?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
He's old enough to play Spidey Dad.
What's his name on Saved by the Bell again?
Mark Paul. Isn't that Paul Mark?
Oh, no, on the show, his character's name was...
I don't remember.
Oh, I'm blanking. Yeah, that's him.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't even know. Now I was kind of looking at him, but I was doing something at the same time, so I wasn't paying him a whole hell of a lot of attention.
That's your boy.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's your
that's
boy.
Interesting. And one last thing I want to talk about, a TV tip. And I know y'all didn't watch it. Well, kind of streaming tip. So, I'm a fan of Red Table Talk. I don't always watch it.
I've watched it before. I wanted to watch it, but I saw little clips, but I haven't seen
it. You should watch it. So, Will called an emergency family Red Table Talk. Mm-hmm. Like Jada said, he called the producers himself.
Really?
Like he did everything himself and just like called all the family like we taping, right? what, and it was the first time that all of them, including Trey, were all there at the table. So it was the whole family. And Will said he called the meeting because, you know, the Smiths are part of the ilk that vacation in Italy for like a whole month and they be on the yacht.
The magic in them.
And yeah, and do the whole thing. So Will was saying that, like, while they were vacationing, like, he get up in the morning, he eat like 5 muffins. Like, the muffins were excellent. Like, you know, the chef was making these amazing muffins. Yeah, he eat like 5 muffins, drink a mojito, go back to sleep, wake up, eat some more muffins, eat some whatever, whatever. And
I'm on vacation.
Right, to the point where Jada and Willow started calling him Pudge Muffin.
Oh, wow.
As a nickname.
And Will's pretty much
well, shape. That's the thing. So when Will got home and he weighed himself, he was 2 pounds heavier than he was when he filmed Ali.
Yeah, and that was on Ali. That was on muscle.
Right, and he said Ali was the heaviest he had ever been in his life. So basically, he was the heaviest when he came off vacation this time. He was the heaviest he'd ever been in his life.
Wow.
And he realized that through like some trial and error, because he was fasting, and then his blood pressure medication almost took him out while he was fasting, so other things were happening. He said he was like, for my entire adult career, my professional career, I've always been in really excellent muscular shape. But what I realized is that I know how to eat when I need to be in shape. I don't actually know how to eat just to be like...
just regularly.
Regularly in and out. And I really identified with something he was saying, because he was like, I eat food, like, my relationship with food is like joy. Like, I eat for fun.
Like, this shit tastes good.
Yo, I relate to that. Like, I'd be about to go out of town. I'd be like, yo, I can't wait to eat.
Yeah, to go blah, blah, blah.
Matter of fact, when we were at Sean and Mona's vow renewal, me and Lauren were sitting at the table with Mama Deb. What's Waka's mama's name?
Oh, Deb Atney.
Yeah, with Deb Atney, with Miss Deb. And the fried chicken on the boat was amazing. Me and Lauren talked about that fried chicken for 45 minutes. And Deb, who was on a diet, was like, y'all bitches is greedy. Like, literally. And we were like, yo, because that's how much, like, yeah, no, so much we talked about that chicken for 40. I still think about that fried chicken. Like, if I could find the person who made that fried chicken. But that's how I love food, right? Yeah. And also that he eats when he's bored. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. He, like, I get bored, I go
watch
eat.
Watch the TV, I eat.
I'm grazing, I'm snacking. Mm-hmm. That's all of that is me. So I completely relate to that. But they were talking about all their different health, like Jaden and Jada will not eat. Like, don't, like,
that's
Jaden
why
was
so
like
small.
Yeah, Jaden was like, I'll be hungry and just like my stomach will be hurting and I'll just be like, I don't want to eat. Like, they will just like dead ass not eat. So it's, and you know, they were talking about
they
had an intervention with Jaden
because he wasn't eating nothing.
Well,
right?
He was vegan. But he wasn't getting enough protein.
Yeah, so he was just...
so he was, like, looking really wan.
Emaciated, yeah.
And his, you know, his face was pale. And that's when Jaden was walking around looking all sad all the time.
Because
he was just kind of like... he didn't have any energy, right? So he's still vegetarian. He said he'll go vegan occasionally. But now he's vegetarian. So they were all talking... and then they brought in a health expert to ask the family different questions about, like... they're eating, they're drinking, they're exercising, their stress levels, you know, all these other things. So Will's basically putting the entire family, like, on a health plan. But aside from the honest conversation in that regard, I just really love how the family interacts.
Yeah, me too.
You know, especially now that the kids are grown.
Yeah.
And I'll be the first person to say it. I used to be like, they need to rein that boy.
I used to clown.
But Jaden, especially, like, Willow always thought, like, had her head on straight. But I really like the young man that Jaden has grown to be. He's very funny. You know, like, his timing is perfect. He's clearly very bright. And these kids have, like, a really great sense of self. They've been through some shit.
And he's socially conscious, like, with his water.
Yeah, with
and all
his
that.
Water.
He's
like,
not on that, like, yo, I got the Ferrari.
Right, right.
I mean, I'm sure he's got his toys.
I mean, he plays the pretentious rich kid for humor.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know what I mean?
Because he grew up in it, so he's not proving anything, but, like, he does really do a lot with his water. Like, he'll go...
and he has, like a food truck.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. He gives... and he'll go, like, he went up to Flint, I think, right? And just gave a gang of water away, and, like, he's... actually, I'm sure eventually he will, I really want him... I'm curious to see what his next acting role will be.
Right.
Because now he's obviously not a kid, so it's
gonna... he's had some experience.
Yeah, and it'll be something I'm sure that he might even develop himself, but I'm just kind to see, like, I'm very curious to see, like, what his brain will manifest as an actor the next time he decides to
and
do
it's
that.
Also, like, they're very comfortable. I mean, granted, the kids are grown, at this point, because even Jaden's 21 now, but they're very comfortable talking in front of their parents, and their parents have created a space where
they can do
that. You know what I mean? And I think, and but you, but they're also like, it's evident that it's been through trial and error.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like about Red Table Talk, is that the Smiths themselves are transparent about, like, this shit ain't always work like this. You know, like that kind of thing. But it's, this episode to me was really good, and it was funny, and it was light, but it was also, like, serious. So if you get a chance to watch it, watch
it. I'm gonna watch it.
It's like the Smith family meeting episode or something.
And peace to Jordan Woods, who, since the Red Table Talk, just God, it seems like she's found her space.
Yeah.
She out here twerking.
I'm happy for that. Megan. And also, like, shout out to the Smiths for, like, using their platform to protect her.
Absolutely.
From the fucking Kardashians.
Absolutely.
Man.
And she,
like,
seems, Jordan
some
seems,
bullies.
I mean, it's social media, so you never really know.
Yeah.
But on social media, she seems very happy.
Yeah.
She's very comfortable with herself. She's out here twerking, having a good time. Like, she seems, you know, she got some, a bunch of black friends.
Yeah.
And she's out here kind of living the black LA life.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, it's social media. I'm sure she goes through her things too, but she seems fine. Speaking of the Kardashians, I'm glad you, that was a good segue.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a clip on, I don't watch this the show,
nor
but there was
I.
a clip on so on a few places, Shade Room, blah blah blah. So they were all at a table, and so it was Chris, her boyfriend Corey mm-hmm. Gamble, I think his name is. It was Scott, Courtney, Kim. And maybe Kylie.
Okay.
Maybe Kylie. Or maybe not. Maybe it was just Kim. Whatever. I know Chloe and Kendall definitely weren't there.
Okay.
But anyway, so they're at the table. So apparently Courtney's daughter, I forget her name now,
is it Suri or something like that?
Maybe. Yeah, it might be. Yeah. Was having
something
some
like
type
that.
Of tantrum or something like that with the nanny.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of fighting the nanny. I don't know what caused this. And scratched the nanny's face.
Kylie's kid? She
Courtney's kid.
Oh,
Courtney
okay, okay, okay. Courtney, okay, okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's not Suri. Whatever their daughter's
Penelope, been. I think her name is or some shit
and
like
she
that.
She scratched the nanny's face. So they're talking about it. The other person at the table was that guy. What's his name? Jonathan something?
Oh, Jonathan Shevin.
He was there.
Okay.
So they're at the table talking about it. And Corey... Who I've never, again, I don't watch shows. I've never heard him talk before. This is the first time I've heard him talk. And he's like a real LA nigga. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, he's kind of like a nigga. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, way more niggerish than I expected him to be for some
right,
reason.
Right, for Chris, yeah.
So he's like, man, you know, I'm not, this is not verbatim, but they're like, yeah, you know, yeah, she scratched the nanny. I don't know what's going on with Penelope. And Corey says, man, basically he says, man, listen, man, she scratched my face, man. I'll whoop her ass.
Mm.
And Scott says,
and record scratch.
What did you say? What did you say?
Right.
You'll beat my daughter's ass. You whip her ass. He was like, you know, I don't mean like whip her ass like I'm gonna beat her up, but yo, she scratched my face. I'm gonna pop her. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
He said, that's just the problem. She don't got no discipline. And so Scott said, you're gonna whip my daughter's ass. And then Courtney's like, you'll never be around my kids again. And Corey holds his stance. Like, nah, be like, she's scratching people's faces. Like, y'all need to do something about that. That
right.
ain't cool.
Right.
Like, if she scratched my face, I'm a popper.
Right.
Yeah, I'm gonna let her know that ain't cool.
Right.
And they have this huge kind of argument about it. And to the point where Chris starts crying.
Well, of course, because Corey's a black man, which means that this is a violent threat to them.
Ass, like he's gonna fucking pick the girl up and like
body slam her.
Exactly. So Chris starts crying. She's not really. Chris is kind of like, he didn't really mean it like that.
She's crying just over the tension.
Over the tension because
right.
she's stuck.
Right.
Like, there's my daughter.
There's my man.
Talking about my grandchild. And there's my man who they've been together for a minute now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's her man now.
Like, for real, for real.
Yeah, like, what, 4 or 5 years maybe?
And also, like, Corey, not for nothing, Corey been around long enough to be like an authority figure for those kids.
Oh, yeah, they know him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's that's Uncle
he's
Corey.
Like, yeah, Uncle Corey, granddad Corey,
yeah.
something. Yeah.
And again, and just seeing this one little clip, like, he Uncle Corey for real, like,
right.
on some nigga shit.
Right.
Like, y'all sit down in that. Like, he's that.
Shut all that noise up.
Yeah, he must be like from Inglewood or like Watson. I was
right.
like, oh, he's like a nigga. So they have this huge thing. But what I found interesting was, besides the scene in and of itself, was it just goes to show the total different parenting styles.
Mm-hmm.
Culturally,
yes.
That, and I don't think it's always a money thing. Of course, this is money, but just between white folks and black folks,
absolutely.
Because Corey's like, I'm a pop. Corey's like, flabbergasted. He's like, yo, she scratched this woman's face and made her like bleed. What the hell are you talking about?
It's like, time out doesn't solve that. I mean, and it's not, now it isn't just a cultural thing. It's also a generational thing. Corey's a black man over 40.
Yeah, he's like a nigga, grown nigga.
Like, he's a grown nigga.
Yeah, he look like he could have that grill. He might be nice on the grill.
But a lot of black millennials now
aren't doing that.
Don't agree with corporal punishment anymore. I am on the fence, right? Like, I probably, hey mama, I probably got my ass beat every day, or at least 4 out of 7 days from, like, first grade till probably like all of elementary school, and then I think I got my last one when I was like a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
But I was doing wild
That's around
shit.
That time, 15, 16.
Like, it wasn't still consistent then, but that was my last one. It was my sophomore or junior high school was my last one, because I stole some money from my stepfather. But, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was doing wild shit. And it's funny, it may not be funny to some people, but we lived with my great-grandmother before my mom got remarried. And I remember, like, I'd be getting beat, because I used to try to, like, block blows, you know, all that shit.
Which makes it worse.
And she'd be laughing. And I used to be like, how you laughing? But I'm that adult now that when a little kid is about to get popped, I'm like, because, you know, it's not funny, but it's funny. But but anyway, I will say that the strictness of my parents, I've told my mom this before, so I don't think I'm telling tales out of school. My parents could be very strict with punishment, even when I wasn't getting beat. Like, my punishment was always very extreme.
Okay.
It made me sneakier. Like, I'd be remorseful at first, but then it would turn into resentment really quick.
Like, I'm gonna try to
like, first it was like, I'm never gonna do this shit again. But then when I felt like shit went on too long, then it was just like, I'm just gonna be more careful.
Yeah.
Right. So, but I say all that to say, like, sometimes time out just really isn't enough. Like, I was a site director at a YWCA for one of the roughest, like, middle schools in Columbia while I was at the University of South Carolina. And, like, we had 5 fifth grade boys who ran everything. And each one of them mamas, because the WISE policy was time out or take snack away or don't let them play or whatever. Each one of them was like, you can fuck him up. Each one of them. You have my permission. Wow. Beat his ass. And sometimes I had to be like, you know, your mama said I could beat your ass, and that would shut them down. Like, you know what I mean? I never did it.
Yeah.
But just the fact that each that one of them was like, you 100% have my permission. So I don't think that parents should inspire fear and terror in their kids. I was visiting a friend of mine this week when I was in Atlanta last weekend. She has a little ruler. Her kids are toddlers, but she has a little ruler. She like popped a leg. But when the kids see the ruler,
they
chill out.
Yeah.
And so she's not like beating them, but she'll do a little pop on the leg. Yeah. A little something just
now
to
how
start.
How old are the kids?
2 and 3.
I'll say small.
Yeah, but they're old enough to understand right?
What's coming.
So, like, I think there might be that. I don't think I'm, like, trying to cut switches and pull belts. But okay. I've seen some kids, like, you can talk to them all day. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Because they know there's no consequences.
Exactly. It's just like, let me just get through
this, you yelling at me or just talking, and then I go back to do what I'm
doing. Yeah, there has to be a real consequence at some point. Yeah. And I have a question for you. Well, your father, how old were you? You were really young when your father passed, right?
No, my father passed in 97.
Oh, I don't know why I thought he passed when you were a kid. So, is it true that every single black boy goes through a point where they almost square up with their dad?
Yeah. It definitely happened when I got to be like, this is like that 15, 16 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We never did, but we definitely got to that point, like, where he, you know, I think at that point he probably could have still took me down, but it wouldn't have been as easy if it was if I was like 10 or 11. But I definitely got like a lot of beatings and shit when I was a kid too.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it or not, I never beat Julian.
Okay.
I never.
Did his mom though?
I think she might have a couple times. I might have hit him like maybe once or twice at the most. I never like had the full on like pop, pop, pop.
Yeah, I think my father only gave me a spanking once.
Yeah, it wasn't even a spanking. I just kind of popped him once or twice. But he always was just kind of scared of me.
Right.
So he, you know, he would just, if I kind of raised my voice or raised up on him, he kind of would back down.
Right.
So I didn't have those issues with him. But again, that was him. I mean, if I have had another child, it might have been different. The personalities are different.
Right.
But again, I don't know quite how, you know, it's funny, like, you know, living uptown and all that, like, you see, you know, these parents, you know, like spazzing on their kids in the street.
Spazzing, and
like,
it breaks my heart.
Get the fuck over here!
Go, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I saw this woman get off the train, get on the train the other day, 125th Street, and her child was, there were two of them. One was walking kind of close to her, one, but the other one wasn't far behind her, maybe like three steps behind her. He was right there.
Right.
And she turned around and was like, get the fuck over here. I'm like, he's right behind you. Like, why are you, he's not like, it's like he's way down the fucking platform.
Right.
But like and you see that's learned behavior.
Exactly.
Because that's where they get it from. Exactly. You know, the mean ass grandmother who everybody, that's another thing that, and I'm veering now.
Right.
I have this huge thing. And again, I blame a lot of this on social media. But over the past few years, you always get these Instagram posts or even Facebook posts of somebody's, you know, grandmother or grandfather cursing or talking about sex.
Right.
And everybody's like, that shit's so funny. I'm like, that's not funny. Like, why is it funny to y'all? What's so funny to hear an old person talk crazy?
Right.
Like, I don't give a fuck. Fuck that. I like me some pussy. Like, that's not funny. That's not funny to me if somebody 20 says it.
Yeah.
Let alone somebody who's like 75. Right. Like, I don't get, because there was a thing recently, there was an older cat. He was probably in his 60s. And he had a hickey on his neck. And the son's filming him. Mm. And he's like, yo, Pop, say, what's up with that thing on your neck?
Right.
And the dude is like, and you could tell he was like that young old nigga.
Yeah,
like he said, earring, you know what I'm saying?
Still trying to be in the street.
Still trying to be Pop. And he's like, yo, you know, because, you know, that's what happens when you give him that good meat. And all the comments are like, oh, that's so funny. I'm like, why is this funny to y'all?
Right, this
is just a crass person. Like, it's disgusting. Right. But I'm veering. My point is, to see the old mean grandma in the street, the old mean grandpa in the street, and now you see their kids.
It's learned behavior.
It's like, it's like, damn. So that makes you go, like, maybe corporal punishment, because I just feel like you're raising kids that are going to eventually resent you.
Well, yeah,
you're fucking embarrassing them constantly.
You are. You're raising kids that are going to resent you, but you're also raising kids who are going to parent their kids the same way. To your point, right? And I do think, like, again, as much as my mother did not play, like, I think people see how close me and my mom are now. And, you know, my mom is my best friend, but I need everybody to be very clear. We were friends, but we were not friends. You know what I mean? Like,
you weren't no pushover.
Yeah, it wasn't none of that, like, you know, my daughter is my best friend. Like, yes, she loved me and we were very close because I'm a child of divorce.
Yeah, but she's
so
your mom.
There were years when it was just us, but she was very much my mother. Yeah. Like, that shit was.
Because I don't get 100%. That thing either. Like, my daughter's my best friend. Your daughter's 11. Like, what are you talking about?
What are you even talking about?
I can tell my son to my daughter anything.
Yeah,
your daughter's
why would
9.
You? Exactly. Like, why would you?
Why are you telling you, unburdening yourself when you're about some guy you're dating or whatever, to like a 10-year-old?
Right.
Like, why are you even doing that shit?
Exactly.
It
doesn't make sense. So my mother was very much my mother, but at the same time, like, she was still loving. Like, she knew how to balance the discipline and the love, but we still went through our period. Like, high school through my first couple of years of college was a mess because I'm asserting my independence, right? I'm also, you know, my parents raised an independent thinking child, which means that they are going to catch that at some point. Like, if you taught me to challenge authority,
eventually,
that means I'm gonna challenge
you.
Y'all motherfuckers too, right?
Yeah.
And so we went through like a really, like, there's been times when me and my mom aren't speaking. She'll still make sure to know that, like, I'm loved, but, like, we really have been, like, at each other's throats. But I say all that to say, even during the times when I was getting whippings regularly, she had this brush she used to use. It was too soft to actually brush my hair. I used to try to hide the brush, do all kinds of shit. She never used the belt, and I never got the switch, thank God.
I got the switch from my grandma. That was
yeah,
terrible.
I never got to. And my grandmother never beat me.
That's trash.
But she beat mom. My mother said she used to spank them with anything she could find. If it was an iron, whatever she grabbed, that was it. But she never beat me. But she didn't. My mother only raises her voice when she is fucking, like, fire starter level furious.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, her voice drops. So all that yelling in the street, my mother is more than one. Like, get your ass over here. Like,
yeah, that one. Punch teeth joint.
So I saw this mom on the bus, and I know we're all on whatever. But I saw this mom on the bus. Her daughter had to be like 4, 5. Like, she's preschool age. The daughter had on a dress. Everything the daughter was doing on the bus, the mom was yelling at her, cussing her out. And it was just hurting my heart. But the daughter was sitting in a way that her legs were kind of open.
Okay.
And the mother's like, Papa, I told you not to do don't you ever let me see you with your legs open? But I'm like, does she understand why you're saying that?
Yeah, she's four.
And it's also not about her. It's about...
the scumbags.
Yeah. So it's like, why? And she's like, I will... don't you ever let me see that. I will fuck you up. I'm not having that. And I'm like, she's like, does she... she doesn't even understand.
Yeah, she's four. She wants to go home and watch fucking cartoons.
Right. She's just trying to stretch out on the...
yeah,
the fuck,
she's tired.
Know? And I was just like, that poor baby, because I could tell that mother does that
all day.
Everything. Like, everything this child did, she was breaking. Breaking. Yeah, so, and that,
this is terrible.
But them Kardashian kids are brats.
Yeah, and that's basically what Kourtney was saying.
And Kourtney is like, actually probably the best... let me not say that. I was about to say, that's wrong to say. I'm not going to judge their motherhood. But Kourtney's kids seem the most normalized.
Okay.
I'll put it that way. But still, if your child feels like it's okay to physically scratch the person whose care they're in, that means clearly she don't respect. Like, they probably be ignoring the fuck out that nanny.
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell me what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I just thought it was interesting to see Corey kind of flex up like that.
Right.
You know, I just wanted to mention this other thing, and this is a real, like, New York thing, but, like... I really want to know what's going on. Like, why are they putting up so many delis? Like, there's like fucking 6 delis on a block.
Are they putting up more delis?
Up by me. There's so many delis.
I've seen some new grocery stores open. I mean, but you know some of those are drug fronts.
I'm assuming that.
Some of them are definitely drug fronts. Because
all y'all need, how many people buying these honey buns?
Yeah.
These honey buns were sitting here for 6 months.
Some of them are definitely drug fronts. Like, when you go in a deli, but I don't think all of them are new. Some of them have been renovating. Because you know how all the delis, every 10 years or so, they flip
things. They put the light thing in the window.
They change the thing. So, like, now there's a new model that they're using. It's always, like, new wood. Like, they all go to the same place and buy the same materials do the same shit. Right. And it seems like I've been seeing that happening over the past couple of years. And it's amazing, too, because you'll walk by there one day, it'll be open. The next morning, it'll be closed. And 2 days later, the whole shit will be changed.
Yeah.
Like, that's they're other so thing. Fast.
They got whoever's doing their contract, they work as fast
they
as hell.
They cousins. They just be in there, like,
fast as hell.
Flip that whole
thing. It's just the deli thing is just a very fascinating thing to me because, you know, years ago, it were all Korean delis. It
right.
All in New York and stuff. I don't know about the other cities.
If you lived uptown, for me at least, all my time in New York has been in Harlem, the Bronx, and like between Inwood and the Heights, it's always been the Dominicans and the Puerto Ricans.
Okay, and yeah. So I've seen a lot of Koreans, but I think
Brooklyn and shit. Though.
Yeah, but I think what's happened is I feel like the Koreans, because they good business. I hate to sound fucking racist, right? Now. They tend to be very savvy business people. They come over here and really get down. And I think they still own those spaces.
But just have other people run them?
Yeah, I think they have a deal now. The Koreans cut a deal specifically with the Middle Eastern cats because they're all...
oh, yeah, there are a lot of
they're
Middle
They're all
Eastern
the same.
Now.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like, okay, if there wasn't a deal with them, it'd be like, oh, some black people on that one and some Jamaicans on that. No, it's always...
well, no, because there's an explanation. There's like a corp... for the Korean delis.
Was the Korean Deli Association.
And I
want to
see, and I think there is for the Middle Eastern.
Oh, so maybe
too.
They're partner.
I think there's a, I'm just saying, I think there are separate corps under which they help. And maybe there's one for the Dominicans too that we just don't know about. Because I've yet to walk into a bodega ever and to be a black owner. Ever.
Never. Oh, yeah, so that's
literally never.
Honestly, or white owner. Like,
right.
Like they
even
not,
in the city, it's not a white owner.
No. Yeah. It's all the same. So I saw this thing on 60 Minutes years ago. It was fascinating. I like to find it on YouTube. So it was in the 90s. So at that time, the Korean Grocery Association was, I think, the largest, the richest lobby in America.
I believe that.
And so, because they were they showed the guy at that time who ran it and how he was like having meetings with like Bill Clinton because Bill Clinton was the president and stuff like that. And so they said how they did it was they set it up so when they came over here, they started to buy the delis, right? Mm-hmm. And then everybody had to put in.
Right.
It's almost like a kind of like a, if you had a deli, there was a certain percentage every year of your profits that there's no in. Question, there's not even discussion. They go into this.
Yeah.
And so then they were able to buy more property and then more property, which is why, and remember the movies in the 90s, a lot of times would go, how the fuck did these Koreans come over here and own a deli and even speak English?
Yeah.
Because they set up so they never had to go to banks for loans.
Right.
The loans came from the Korean Grocery Association, and then the Korean Grocery Association had all the plugs with the people who bought you the Snapple
and the suppliers and the food
and all the suppliers, which is why all the delis carry the same,
same shit
because those are the suppliers that they deal with no matter where you go. And then they segued out of that into the cleaners. And so they own
mad... there's a cleaners association, too, I think.
Exactly. So now they own mad cleaners. But I don't feel like they've sold those deli spaces. I think they did a deal with whoever the Middle Eastern court people are. And then, so they kind of... That's why they pass off to each other. Like, okay, we're going to get out of this. We're going to go over here. But now you guys move in. Which is why nobody else can get in. But either the Middle Eastern... You know what I'm saying?
Well, I will say, though, like I said, Uptown, though, some of these motherfuckers are drug fronts because they don't be having shit. Like, you go in there and you be like,
bro,
you ain't even got the damn... You know what I mean? Like, the stuff in the stuff be wild old... Maybe they got... Maybe they refreshed the beverages. But other than that...
And the beverages is it's like only like Poland Spring water.
Yeah, they like don't have like Essentia and shit like that. That's like there's a deli across the street from my house, and before the people who have it now had it, the last owners, like I said, they never had it. And I was like, oh, this is a drug fight. And then there's a couple of spots that's like hookah spots. I'm like, this is
the smoke shop. The smoke shop is the new shit. And that's all, I mean,
but I want to say allegedly because I don't want to get nobody in trouble. I still believe that's some drug crimes because you're not making enough money just selling hookahs and shit.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I always want to say allegedly because we don't want to get anybody in trouble. But yeah, those, you know, it's cheap and easy stuff to kind of
And they're part and parcel. Like, you go in there, they got six things.
Eight things. Exactly. And like I said, there's
a mad empty wall space.
Yeah, but there's always like a new deli or renovated deli happening. It's like, there's a deli on the corner and there's one across the street. Like, why are you guys opening too?
But
like,
people still go. You go to wherever you walking past. It's like the Dwayne Reed's. They'll literally be Dwayne Reed's across the street from each other.
Yeah, or CVS.
Yeah.
I think the deli thing is interesting. And I need to do some research because I feel like there's a lot of scamming going on.
Oh, I'm sure.
They're paying off the proper people because nobody ever gets trouble or busted.
Right.
I just wanted to wrap up with just mentioning the...
Trump?
The impeachment stuff. This shit looking bad for him.
For him. It seems like this might... I'm not going to say it's going to be the thing that gets him out of there.
But it's going to put the most heat up on his
feet. It's going to put the most heat up on him for sure. And honestly, it's just, it's time. Like, the problem is, as we all know, the president's behavior has been going unchecked for so long. And it just proves to me, it's just, and I've probably said this on the show before, I know I say it on Twitter all the time, how comfortable and naive we all are with this idea that things that have happened in other places can't happen in America in terms of like regimes and control and, you know, the erosion of the, democracy and of the republic and all that other stuff. Like, Trump is the example of how much of the presidency was really just about respect and protocol and not about
actual laws.
Not about the quote unquote checks and balances.
Yeah, or the actual rules. Or the actual rules on the books. Except people just kind of doing things because that's just what you do or what you don't do.
And it's also what's appropriate, right? Yeah. Like, the founders, I don't think, ever considered that a man of ill repute to this level would ever be in the seat. Right. Yeah. It was never considered. I do think that over the year, that in the years that follows, once we finally get Trump the fuck up out of here, assuming we don't turn into Gilead from the Handmaid's Tale, like, we will see some constitutional reform taking place to actually put some things in as law in terms of what the president can and can't do. But all signs point to, like, the fact that the Senate voted to release these whistleblowing docs, like, unanimously.
Did you see the, I believe it was a Washington Post reporter, or the Times, somebody. Mm-hmm. He said that he spoke to senators, and he said if there was a vote that was anonymous,
mm-hmm.
he said 30 senators, Republican senators,
right,
said they would vote to impeach if they could do it without,
if they could do it anonymously. Yeah, and that's the thing, like,
because even the white men are like, they're all still scared of it.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, even the GOP is like, all right, you do, like you're doing way too much right now. And even I was reading on the way over here, there's a lot of infighting at Fox News right now. And over the past couple months, actually, Fox News reporters have started to
Shepard be going ham. Like, there's like, another guy, Cavuto. Shepard Smith.
Shepard Smith, yeah.
Shepard's be going ham. He be going ham. And I think his name is Cavuto. I think his name is John Cavuto. He be going ham.
Right.
Judge Napolitano. He be going. Like, right. There's like three or four
there's
of them.
There's a few
that
of them
who
are like, my man.
Yeah, like my nigga. Like,
and to me, that is the biggest indicator that Trump is starting to slip. Because that is his propaganda arm, right? And if even they
are like,
you're wild. we can't. Yeah. Like, apparently there's internal conversations. Young Murdoch is having conversations about, like, how they reshape the network post-Trump. You know, like, all that. I think that, again, if there is something that's going to get him out of here, we may be close to it. The idea of impeachment itself doesn't give me much hope because, like, Clinton got impeached. He didn't leave office.
And it takes time.
I mean, granted, he was
pardoned. It also takes time. It doesn't happen over...
But although the trial itself...
And this is moving much faster because it's blatant.
It's like, so blatant.
Clinton's shit was based on him fucking with Monica, right?
Well, it was actually the Linda Tripp. Him lying... Yeah. In the hearing about Linda Tripp, right?
And then obviously, Nixon was based on the Watergate tape.
Right, and Nixon resigned before
they
could impeach him because his shit was so bad.
Yeah,
but
this
Trump,
shit here is like, bro, they got transcripts, they got you on tape. Like, you didn't even deny it.
Right.
He was like, yeah, I did say
And even the stupid-ass, like, notes he released that he called a transcript, even they were bad. So if the shit that you put out was bad, then the real... I haven't read the whole whistleblower's document, but the real shit is even worse. And it's going to be the impeachment itself isn't going to be the thing. It's going to be putting him on trial.
Yeah.
Because the man is incapable of telling the truth. So he is going to lie all up and through the trial. Giuliani talking about he want to testify.
I think Giuliani got worse dementia than Trump.
Please put Giuliani in front of
House
committee.
He'll literally be like, nah, I didn't do that.
Yeah, I did that.
So what? Nah, I said I didn't do it.
He's like Rick James in the fucking
Chappelle joint. You literally just
Chappelle
said
joint.
You did this shit. Like, what are you talking about?
He'd be all over the place with it.
Yo, and you see he threw Pence under the bus, Trump.
Yeah, of course.
He was like, yo, check his records. I'm like, god damn, fam. Like, I know Pence is a scumbag. Fuck him, too.
But
I know he was like, damn, fam, I'm
okay. Pence been trying to keep his head down.
Low.
Like, Pence's plan this whole time has been to come out of this, because I think everybody has to have been planning for, like, a blow-up eventually.
Yeah.
So Pence has been trying... Pence has managed to keep his hands mostly clean.
And be low.
And be super low with it, yeah.
Yeah, and anytime Pence is... Again, I'm not Caden fan. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I don't want
anytime
him in office
either. He's gotten any heat, it's because of Trump. It's not because of him, usually.
Right.
Even with the whole thing with him flying islands, because Trump told him to do that.
Exactly.
He was like, he wouldn't have done that, I don't think, on his own. He was like,
right.
Trump kind of forced him to do that to keep the money coming into his property. But it's just a really interesting, it's just an interesting time. And honestly, Trump, Boris Johnson, these dudes are last gasp, you know, kind of white man.
Yeah.
And they are really the bastions of white privilege.
Yes.
Because they're mediocre in every way.
They're not even mediocre, actually.
They're kind of, they're slow. They're kind of, they're dumb. They're raggedy. They're slobbing.
They're average
study.
Looking. Trump well, like you said, slovenly even.
Yeah, Trump don't read.
They're both womanizers with a lot of money.
Yeah, and Trump's used to just winging it, and people just kind of patting him on his back for just winging it and
or
saying
humoring
whatever.
Him. That's the thing. Trump has never actually been respected.
Yeah.
Not amongst real people with money.
No.
Maybe amongst other like real estate folks, but people have always kind of thought he's a buffoon. And in New York, people tolerated him in certain circles because he was like a character, right? So even with the Apprentice, it was like it was entertainment. The fact that motherfuckers took the shit seriously is like, come on. So even with this, I think, and that's why people slept on him when he was running because I was like, he's a fucking idiot.
He's a clown.
Who's electing him? And he fucking got in office. Because
he tapped into to the
to one the thing, fear-mongering, right.
And to the one thing that America will never you know, get away from, which is racism.
Which is racism.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you tap into that shit blatantly. There's a whole gang of people
who just follow you.
Moderate, conservative, right. Whatever, that have these feelings. Maybe they... Some people have them in a more sophisticated way, right. And some people have them in a more, like, raw, rural way, but the right. feelings, nevertheless, well, are the same.
And also, for the power players, I think on, like, for somebody like Mitch McConnell, it benefits Mitch to have Trump in office, because Mitch can do all his shit with, like, the court packing and all of that other stuff without interference, right? Mitch has been on his own agenda.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, 100%. Like, he's had that shit ready to go. For some of the other GOP lawmakers, it's like, we can repeal health care. We can do things we wanted to do that we weren't able to do before, because who gonna check us, right? And then for some power players in the world, because be clear, the people who have a lot of money... Have you been watching Succession?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
The people who have a lot of money do control a lot. Like, so right now, apparently, a lot of titans are saying, like, if you guys put Warren up for the nomination... We have no choice but to support Trump again because of the tax. Because
of her tax plan. You take so much
right, paper, so they just want... Which is so crazy to me, because like you said, it's monopoly money. Like, mm-hmm. y'all ain't gonna feel that shit, but they want to...
They ain't gonna lose a yacht or Rolls Royce or a squad
not gonna
or
feel
a mansion.
At all. Like, yeah. all you doing is looking at numbers. You don't feel the difference at all.
At all.
So, but they are like, we'll have to support Trump if you put Warren up, because we're not going to take that financial hit. So that also was part of Trump's win, was like, okay, he's as greedy as we are.
Yeah.
Like,
and he'll do all the laws because he wants to get more money too. So he'll just do whatever we say. It's buck wild, man. But like I said, I think your man's dumb and an idiot. And he has a bunch of dummies around him, because that's the other thing that I think people have not really been cognizant of.
There's nobody qualified around him.
And look, when he first came in there, it wasn't like Obama's level of qualifications.
But there were some adults
There were some adults in there. There were a couple people in there. Even, you know, look, politics is... we have a different agenda politically.
Right.
But there were some people in there earlier on who were serious people.
Right.
And they've been going for a long time.
A long time.
So now everybody's in acting. There's nobody that's really like
there's still all kinds of positions open.
So there's nobody. And at this point, nobody wants to go near him.
Yeah.
Of quality.
Right.
So he's got a bunch of clowns around who are just doing whatever and saying whatever.
Right.
Which is why the shit's so raggedy and now things are easily found out.
Right.
Plus, there's people in there
who are leaking on purpose
because they like this.
They
want to
get saved. They're like, somebody come save.
Yeah, because this motherfucker's crazy.
The one good thing about Trump having gotten away with so much for so long is that he doesn't even at this point know what he needs to cover up and what he doesn't.
Because everything's raggedy.
Because he's gonna just incriminate himself as he's already done. Because he's gotten away. He still doesn't really clearly understand what's okay for him to do and what's not.
Yeah.
Because he's gotten away with so much.
And he's never read anything.
Literally.
He's just like, I want to do blah, blah, blah. And at this point, like you said, not having anybody of quality around him, they just appease.
Mm-hmm.
So if he'll just say something like, I want to buy Greenland. Like, people are really like, what? But people are really like, no, we're really going to look into it. It's like, we can't buy Greenland.
Are you fucking out of your mind?
But nobody around him is saying no.
Like,
nothing.
Nobody's saying, like, we can't buy a country, my nigga. Like,
yeah, chill.
The fuck?
And the people who would say that are long gone.
Right. I noticed that even... To me, this is a sign of trouble. I noticed that even Kellyanne Conway isn't coming out.
Yeah, she's been low lately.
She's been super low. She knows some shit.
What do you think, before we go, what do you think? Do you think
the whole thing with her and her husband?
Do you think he's saying what she feels?
Do I think that he is...
he's saying what she feels.
I think that Kellyanne doesn't like Trump, but she will carry the party line to death. Because originally she was hired by the Koch brothers... She was supporting somebody who was campaigning against Trump.
Yeah, she was, I forget.
Who was it?
I forget, but it was another candidate.
Yeah, was it, Marco Rubio?
No, I don't think it was Rubio. Was it Cruz? No. Another candidate, though. Yeah,
it was another candidate.
Yeah.
And she said horrible things about Trump.
Yeah.
And she's a smart woman. That's the one thing about Kellyanne that
people figure she's a lawyer.
She's fucking diabolically smart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She'll sit up there and, like, Trump will lie, but it's an obvious lie. Kellyanne will lie
and spin
been that shit, yeah. like, and you're so frustrated because you see it,
yeah.
and you can't pin her down. You can't pin her down yeah. at all. She yeah. would just be like,
yep.
you know.
Yep.
So she's diabolically smart. I think that as long as, I think that she wants to protect her position. I think that she wants to use this to level up once she gets out.
She's definitely going to write the book.
Yeah, and go there on, have been some minded. Things that she said over time off record. None has been directly disparaging the Trump, but it's been a little
kinda
bit like,
I yeah, know like shit is kinda
she's been like a so, she's been a source
yeah.
for some leaks
yeah.
for sure, right? Yeah. And but I think her husband is just kind of like I think they might have like a pact, like
yeah.
we're not gonna bring the shit home.
Yeah.
I read a story about the two of them, and I think that's what it is. They have a pact that, like, they don't talk about it in the house.
Okay.
But, like, so, like, he goes to the living room and tweets all that shit out, and she, you know, does whatever. I've been really surprised that, considering how anti-Trump he is, Trump hasn't tried to get her out. But that just goes to show how much he trusts
her.
Her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's, like you said, so many other people, even scumbag, what's her name? The press secretary.
Oh, homegirl. Yeah,
Huckabee. Huckabee.
Yeah,
Sarah.
Huckabee, Sarah.
Even she's gone.
Yeah.
So it's like, he ain't really nobody left.
Nope.
It's Kellyanne and crazy-ass Stephen Miller.
That's it.
That been there, like, from the gate.
Stephen Miller, whatever is there is to be implicated in, I'm 100% Stephen Miller's ass is caught up in it. That motherfucker he's a supervillain.
He's dead inside.
He's literally a supervillain.
Yeah, he's dead inside.
For real.
So that's it.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap it up. We'll follow up more next week with whatever new impeachment shit we got going on.
And there may be a Kanye album to discuss next week or not.
I don't know if I'm going to listen to that shit.
Well, it's apparently pushed back.
It's supposed to come out tonight, and now it's pushed back to who knows when.
I heard that.
Knowing his ass, they probably didn't clear the samples.
Well, I heard that Def Jam's kind of like, my nigga, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah. What is this? And meanwhile, you know, he's going to want the same level of rollout
yeah.
as he was.
Yeah, and he's doing a Sunday service tomorrow in Detroit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and the Aretha Franklin, whatever. But this one he was selling tickets to, so it's a little different.
Mm, okay.
So that'll be interesting.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up. We'll see y'all next week.
Later.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast. Talk to you next week.